So my name's Steve, and we're continuing our series on the Lord's Prayer. Trust that you've been finding this really helpful in how you pray. I know that one of my issues is I can talk a lot and not always so good at listening. And you know, it's no different in terms of how we pray and how we relate to God. And so this whole series is really helping us in our praying and our relationship with God. So we're going to read the Lord's Prayer again and go through it. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So this week we're looking at your kingdom come. Now we happen to live in a nation called the United Kingdom, although sometimes you wonder how united it is. But nevertheless, we live under a monarchy. Now I guess how that works today is very, very different to how it worked in centuries gone by. But when you live in a kingdom, you're living in the realm and the authority of the monarch. So we have a queen, and people would say that she's a good queen, but actually her authority is very, very limited. Centuries ago, that wasn't the case, and we had good kings and queens and bad kings and queens. Henry VIII probably was not a particularly good king. I don't think his subjects particularly thrived under his kingship, and certainly his wives didn't thrive under his kingship. And then you'd have someone like his daughter, Elizabeth I, who tried to sort of, you know, counteract some of his excesses in her reign. But a kingdom is one where the king rules and reigns, and his reign affects every aspect of life. And he has overall authority and kingship. In fact, it affects the whole culture. Interesting that next Saturday the theme is kingdom culture, because under the realm of a king, it affects the whole culture in which you live. In fact, we still refer to different periods in history as relating to who the monarch was at the time. So we talk about the Edwardian era or the Georgian era or the Victorian era. Even today, we talk about the Victorian era. And if you think of the Victorian era, probably certain things come to your mind. You probably think of, you know, morality and perhaps a bit prudishness, and perhaps also hypocrisy might come to mind as well under that time. But basically, when you've got a kingdom, you've got the whole culture is affected by the realm of the king. And we know that our King Jesus is a totally good and perfect king. So when you start to imagine what it must be like to live under the realm, the authority of King Jesus, then we start to know what that means. And we don't follow him because we have to. We don't follow him because he is the king and therefore we've got to do what he says. Actually, our relationship to King Jesus is one of love. And we love to be in his presence. We love to be following him. That is fundamentally our desire, even if we don't always do so well. And under the kingdom of God, we want to be those who are flourishing. You see, King Jesus wants to bring out the absolute best in us. He wants to bring a realm and a kingdom where we all blossom and flourish, not where we live in fear. So when we're praying, your kingdom come, we're praying for God's realm to advance, to extend, where he has more and more people living in his realm, if you like, living under his authority. And the Bible tells us that there are two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of this world, of the earth, under the rulership, if you like, the authority of the devil, the evil one. And then there's the kingdom of our God. And those two realms are opposed to each other. They are opposite. But we long for the day when we follow our amazing King Jesus and his authority and realm is seen for all to come under and recognize he is the king. And a day is going to come where he is going to rule and reign forever. And for us, that is a tremendous hope. So today I want to look at three aspects, really. First, I want to look at what is the kingdom. Then, the kingdom now. And if you like, the kingdom not yet. The kingdom that is to come when Jesus one day will return. So let's look at what is the kingdom. We will look at what is the kingdom. Perhaps it could be advanced for me, Lisa. Is that okay? Thanks. What is the kingdom? So Jesus spoke an awful lot about the kingdom of God, and sometimes referred to as the kingdom of heaven. Now, in the Bible, the kingdom is mentioned in the New Testament 119 times in the Gospels. And 54 of those are in the Gospel of Matthew, which we are looking at here and now. And political parties have their manifestos. A few weeks ago, we heard a lot about manifestos, didn't we? We heard an awful lot about it. And parties have their manifestos. And I can tell you, not one of those political manifestos is perfect. Not one. There may be good things in some of them, but not one of them is perfect. But you know, Jesus had his kingdom manifesto. And the details of this are in what we know as the Sermon on the Mount. And that's what the Lord's Prayer is. It's part of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus gathering up a mountain above Galilee and all the crowds coming and sitting down at his feet. And he starts to talk about the things of the kingdom. So when we read the Sermon on the Mount, we are getting an idea of what the kingdom of God is really all about. And particularly the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, if you like, you could almost say these are Jesus's kingdom manifesto. This is what his kingdom is going to look like. And I want to go through that just briefly so we get an understanding of what the kingdom of God is like under the realm and the authority and the rule of Jesus. And the first you find in verse 3, if you want to follow it, it's Matthew 5, starting at verse 3. And we see in these Beatitudes, we tend to look at them and think of them as applying to us personally, which is true, but they also show us something, what it is like for a whole people to live under the realm where these truths, these attributes are a part of life. So the first is, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And poor in spirit effectively means to be dependent upon God. Yes. To be poor in spirit is saying, I need help. I can't get by without guidance. I can't live under my own steam, if you like. I'm not going to do it my way. I'm going to do it your way. The kingdom of God is one where we're saying we look to King Jesus to be the king on whom we depend for life and everything that we have. Under his kingship and rule, I am going to blossom and flourish in my life. He is going to do me good. When I say my dependence is upon you, God, I'm totally dependent upon you. I am declaring I am going to follow you. That is part of what the kingdom looks like. Then the next verse says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And you could say the kingdom of God is like those who are sorrowful. Now, yes, we mourn about our own individual failings and sin, but it goes beyond this because actually in the kingdom, there's a sense of which you're sorrowful about the state of what you see in the results of sin. And we see the results of sin all around us in our culture. And it can make you mournful. It makes me mournful when I walk through the streets of Chichester in the 2 years, just over 2 years that we have been here as a family, to see an increase in the number of homeless people. And what that does to you, or it certainly does to me, and I'm sure it does to you as well, is make you sorrowful that we live in a world where that happens. And the result is, I want to see, God, I want to see something change. I don't want us to live like this. I want it to change. So I find myself thinking, what can I do? Okay, I'm going to talk to people who are homeless because they are people. And I'm going to, if I they need food. Let me buy a sandwich or something. And so you want to bring comfort. Now, God will comfort us in terms of our need and dependence upon him because he longs to bring forgiveness and change. Blessed are those who mourn, for they'll be comforted. It's people who are sorrowful about sin and the state and the results of sin. And then, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Humility, or being humble, characterizes this kingdom. It's a kingdom where there is humility. It's a kingdom where we're looking for to say, Lord, we want you to advance your name. It's for you and not for me. Let me not be the one who's self-seeking, full of pride, but rather to honor others beyond myself. That's the sort of kingdom that Jesus comes to establish. And then, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. It's a kingdom which is righteous. It's a kingdom which is perfect. I love what Proverbs 14, verse 34 says. It tells us that righteousness exalts a nation. Don't you long to be in a nation where righteousness is seen? Everything that is right and good, as opposed to everything which is bad and opposite to the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, there's no stealing or lying or fighting or hating. Where we live under the rule and the reign of King Jesus, there is peace and joy in his kingdom. Everything is right. I know there's a longing in us to see rightness and justice and righteousness in our nation and in the nations. And under the kingdom of God, it's a kingdom which is righteous. Then it's a kingdom where blessed are the merciful. It's a kingdom because they shall be shown mercy. It's a kingdom which is merciful, showing kindness and forgiveness to others rather than self-preservation. You know, our immediate response can be when someone offends us is to react back, is to jump back. When you have an accident in the car, which is not your fault, your first instinct is to say, and react. I know it's mine. I don't know what it is about cars, but I seem to somehow take on a different character when I get behind the wheel of a car. And my whole character and nature changes. And if someone gets in my... No, the kingdom of God is merciful and looking to forgive and to reach out rather than be self-preserving and lacking in mercy. And then, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. It's a kingdom which is pure, a kingdom where all are seeing purity in every area of life, and where all that is good and pure is promoted. You know, we live in a world where the opposite is true, where we seem to gratify our needs at the expense of others. You see it constantly in television programs. You see it constantly where we seem to promote that which is impure as opposed to that which is pure and good. And hence we end up with a society where women have been abused by those in power. And you seem to get this contradiction because we live in a society which seems to promote the opposite of purity. And then the result is you get abuse, and then suddenly this new movement sort of stirs up, the Me Too movement, because of how impurity has resulted in abuse in our society. But in the kingdom of God, there's purity and everything is good. And the pure in heart will see God. This is the sort of kingdom that Jesus comes to bring. And then blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. It's a peaceful community, a kingdom where peace is promoted over conflict. And it's a cry of many who we interviewed on the streets of Chichester. Well, it's good to see peace up here again. It's so interesting that at Christmas, we did this video, didn't we? And we asked people what they were looking for in 2020. And peace was a constant theme which came through. We long to see peace. And within a matter of weeks, suddenly the whole world is on tenterhooks because of what was happening between the superpowers and Iran and the United States, and it felt anything but a time of peace. But the kingdom of God is a kingdom of peace, and that is something which we long to see, and many long to see in the world. And then finally, blessed are the persecuted, you who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And you could say it's those who are long-suffering. With the clash of kingdoms in this world, the kingdom of our God and the kingdom of this world, they are in opposition. They are opposed one to the other. And our love for Jesus is not always welcomed. In fact, it's interesting when you read some of the things in the media, how the Christian message increasingly is despised. I find it fascinating that we're meant to be a tolerant society as long as you're not a Christian, because we don't want to be too tolerant of Christianity, do we? That's the sort of society we're living in. There's an opposition, and we are called blessed if we are long-suffering and standing for all these things. So you're blessed if the kingdom of God is like this. And in Jesus' kingdom, his realm is where people are dependent upon him. They honor him as king. They're compassionate towards those outside of the kingdom, are humble and love all that is good and righteous, are merciful and long for all that is pure. They seek peace and they're long-suffering. That is the sort of kingdom that Jesus came to bring. And that, if you like, was his kingdom manifesto. And it is totally opposite to the manifestos of many of our political parties, where it's all about self-advancement and what will do you good, rather than what is going to glorify and bring glory to God. And then Jesus goes on to say this in the Sermon on the Mount. A few verses later, he says in Matthew 5, verse 19, "Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Greatness in the kingdom of God does not look like greatness in the kingdom of our world. So when we pray, "Your kingdom come," what we're praying is for something absolutely radical and altogether different from the world in which we live and the kingdom governmental system that this world has to offer. And that brings me to the next main point, which is the kingdom of God now. When a few weeks ago people cast their votes in the general election, it's human nature that you cast your vote according to what's going to better me. That tends to be the way that people vote. How is this going to, and it's not true of everybody, but generally speaking, people will vote according to what is going to further me and advance my position. And when we do that, we're basically saying we're casting our votes on the basis of "let my will be done." But in the kingdom of God, we're praying, "let your will be done." And your will may be not the same as my will. When we pray, "your kingdom come," we're doing the exact opposite. Lord, you know what's best. You know what the kingdom of God you want to bring about. I want to pray that your kingdom come, your righteousness and your purity. So I guess we pray for God's kingdom to come in a number of ways. And when we come to do this, when we come to pray, whether, you know, in the morning or whenever you pray, or whether we pray together, we are praying for the advancement of the kingdom of God in a number of areas. Firstly, in my personal life, I'm saying, "Lord, let your kingdom come today in the way that I live." I'm saying, "God, I'm poor in spirit. I can't actually live this life without you. I need you. I'm dependent upon you. God, I need you. God, may I be pure in heart today. God, may I be compassionate and sorrowful for what I see around me. Lord, I'm really struggling to show mercy to that work colleague. He's such a pain." I mean, how many of you have been in that position? You know, surely not for you, Simo. I'm really struggling with my boss. I mean, I'm really struggling. God, won't you help me today? Let your kingdom come in my response. In other words, let your rule and reign be at work in my personal life today. Let these attributes of the kingdom come in my life. Lord, when I go to work, I know I'm going to get frustrated by the values I see around me. And we so easily take upon the culture in which we are working, in which we live. And our cry is, God, let your kingdom come through the way I respond to your purposes. Or, it's really tough at the moment, Lord. I'm struggling. The kids aren't sleeping. I was awake again at night. Please, Lord, help me. Help me in my response, Lord, to be peaceful and understanding. I need you. I'm dependent upon you. Let your kingdom come. And then we'll pray for God's kingdom to come in other people's lives. We pray for that as well. In others' lives. We'll be praying for people we know to come to know Jesus for salvation. Lord, let your kingdom come in their lives. And one aspect that we see in the kingdom of God is that when Jesus went out and preached the kingdom and did the works of the kingdom, everything changed. I mean, can you imagine it? Jesus walking along and the crowds were flocking to Jesus. And then there was evidence of the kingdom all around when Jesus was around. And one aspect which we see is found in Matthew chapter 10 and verses 7 to 8. It says this, as you go, proclaim this message, the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal those who are ill. Raise the dead. You've done that recently. Cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out demons. Freely you have received. Freely give. And an outworking of the kingdom of God in our lives should be an expectation of healing, of God moving and bringing miraculous signs and wonders, as it were, around us. And when we pray for other people, we are praying for that to happen. If you've not listened to, or you weren't here for the life changes, Julian Griffin, who's here today, just an amazing testimony of God's miraculous intervention of total healing of cancer. He had a brain tumor, and when he was scanned again, it had completely gone. That is evidence of the kingdom of God coming in the here and now. And we pray for more of that. We pray for more evidence of the kingdom in terms of praying for others to be healed and seeing God do these amazing works. And we should ask God, when we pray for his kingdom to come, to give us opportunities to pray for the advance of his kingdom. Now, some years ago, I was at a big meeting where there's a guy called Andy Hawthorne, who's an evangelist, who's done this amazing work up in Manchester. And there was this provocation to expect God to use you and to see other people coming to, opportunities to pray for healing or opportunities to share your faith. And there was this challenge put before us, and I sat listening to this. There's about, 2,000 of us in this auditorium. Then I went out and went down to the local shops to get some food, and there was this lady by the shelves, and she was reaching up to try and get some food down, and she was going, oh, like this. And I stand there next to her, and my immediate reaction is, poor dear, I wonder if she's okay. And immediately, I felt God prompt me. I'd just been in an environment where I was being challenged to bring, if you like, the kingdom into situations which I come across. And here's this lady who is in pain. I said, are you suffering at the moment? She says, yeah, I really am. She says, my back is terrible. And I thought, I could do one of two things now. I could either say, really sorry about that, and can I help you? Or could I pray for you? I did the latter, and it wasn't easy. It's stepping out and saying, I will pray for you. But the sense of, no, this is, now I'm not saying she was healed, I don't know what happened, but I was surprised at her response. Rather than, no, don't do that, her response was, thank you. We can bring the kingdom of God wherever we go, and there's opportunities around for us to do that. Let's grasp them in praying for others. We seek those opportunities. Then in our church would be another area. We're praying for here at Grace Church, the advance of the kingdom of God. Let your kingdom come. Let there be sacrificial love amongst us, one for the other. Let there be a greater sense of unity. Let us look out to support one another and usher in the kingdom of God. Let's pray that amongst other churches in this area, we might be a witness for the kingdom and see people come to know Christ. Let's pray when Little Bears is here on a Thursday morning, our parent and toddler group. Let's pray that there would be an advance of the kingdom, that people would say, no, I want to know Jesus. What is it about you people? Why are you so friendly? Why are you so positive? What is it? It's the kingdom of God. We're praying for that. We pray that the kingdom of God will come in every area of our church life. When we gather together on Thursday evening, we're praying for the kingdom to come. We're praying for advance of the gospel. So we've got Little Bears here on a Thursday morning. And then just a few 100 yards down the road at Stockbridge Road, we have got many, many flats of the older generation. People in our society are often some of the loneliest. And I feel a sense in which God's given us this amazing facility. How can we extend the kingdom at each range, if you like, of the age range? Little Bears at one end and the older generation at the other. Is God speaking to you? I'd love to see this building at another day in the week, perhaps during the morning, coffee mornings or something, where we're reaching out to the older generation. God is stirring our hearts to advance the kingdom. Is he speaking to you? Is he saying, this is something I could do? Or there's other areas in which we want to see the kingdom of God advance out of us as a church. What is God saying to us? And then we pray for the kingdom of God to advance in our nation. We long to see the world to change. So in our praying, we'll be praying for our community, our government. However, it's interesting, Jesus didn't come in to bring about an earthly kingdom. When he came to the earth 2,000 years ago, he didn't come to bring out an earthly kingdom. He came to be crucified. And as he came, that was the way to bring about his kingdom, to die for our sin, to deal with the root problem. When he came, he didn't come to bring about an earthly kingdom. He came about to be crucified and resurrected. And the disciples couldn't fully understand that, and certainly Israel at the time couldn't understand it. And we can be in danger of making the same mistake. We long to see the world change, so we get animated about all sorts of issues, like unfair taxation, or my political party is the one that's going to change the world, or this needs to happen, or that needs to happen in society. Now, I'm not saying these things are wrong. These things are absolutely right. But ultimately, it's no one political system that's going to change society. It's when individuals are born again and transformed by the power of God in their lives. That is what's going to change society. And that's what's going to bring about the kingdom of God. And you are representatives of the kingdom of God. In our last church in Eastbourne, it was a church which was very involved in many different aspects in the community. And we had four local councillors representing different political parties. We had a Liberal Democrat mayor, and we had Conservative councillors. There weren't any Labour, because in that area, Labour wasn't strong. And then we had a Conservative MP. And I would gather them to pray, and I was forever saying, we're not praying for the advancement of the kingdom of the Conservatives. We are not praying for the advancement of the kingdom of the Liberal Democrats. We are praying for the advancement of the kingdom of God. And God has called you to be an influence in your sphere in which he has placed you. And it was a constant cry, let's bring unity, and a cry for the kingdom of God to advance. And it was interesting because our MP, when she was, inaugurated, or whatever they do up there, the chaplain... There's a chapel, if you've ever been to the Houses of Parliament, there's a chapel underneath the Houses of Parliament, Westminster. And the MPs there gather to pray. And this prayer is said by the MPs. The chaplain leads them through this prayer. You'd be amazed at what our MPs pray. Now, I'm not saying they all believe it. In fact, I'm sure many, many don't. But we have got MPs in different parties, and this is what they pray. Lord, the God of righteousness and truth, grant to our Queen and her government, to members of Parliament and all in positions of responsibility, the guidance of your Spirit. May they never lead the nation wrongly through love of power, desire to please, or unworthy ideals, but laying aside all private interests and prejudice, keep in mind their responsibility to seek to improve the condition of all mankind, so may your kingdom come and your name be hallowed. Our MPs pray that. Our particular MP from Eastbourne said when she prayed that, she actually felt like the ground shaking with the responsibility that in her influence, she might be one who also brings the kingdom of God. That's what we're praying. So at the heart of government, we've got MPs from all across all parties who are praying your kingdom come. So please, let's be careful that we don't get so passionate about our political views that we try and shape our Christian faith around them. Rather, I honour every Christian MP, whether a Conservative, Labour, Lib Dem, SDP, if you're in Scotland, SDP was years ago. But whatever the party, I long to see Christians who will bring about an advance of the kingdom of God. Moving swiftly on, finally, in the whole world, we pray to God for his kingdom to come across the earth. And we have the privilege of connections with other nations. And many of us sponsor and support children in the Philippines as part of Compassion. Wonderful. Why are we doing that? We want to see the kingdom of God advance in those other nations. In a few weeks' time, David is leading a team out to India. We long to see the kingdom of God advance in places like that. And there's evidence of the kingdom of God advancing across the earth. Irrespective of what people say in this nation that the church is in decline, in many nations where in the news it tends to be bad press, nations like Iran, there is an amazing move of God amongst Christians, but you don't hear about it, but it's happening. And other nations like China, hundreds and thousands coming to Christ. We pray for the advance of the kingdom of God. So there's many things we don't yet see. There's many things we don't yet see in terms of the kingdom, but God's kingdom is advancing, and we continue to pray when we come to pray for that to happen. As I draw us to a close, the last point is the kingdom of God to come. And if the kingdom of God is where he reigns, we know that right now we don't see it all. But we pray, let your kingdom come in all its fullness. In doing that, we're praying actually for the day when Jesus returns. That's our prayer, that one day he is going to return. And there's a longing in our hearts for everything that we see wrong with the world and with our own individual lives to be put right. And one day, it is going to happen. There's an absolute assurance that Jesus will come, not this time to be crucified, but come to establish his rule and reign forever and ever. And he said this. He said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." So in our praying for the kingdom of God to come, there are things we can pray. We can pray for the gospel to be preached. There's a job for us to do. We don't sit back on our laurels, as it were. There's a job to be done. The gospel needs to be preached across the whole world. And as that happens, we're advancing the kingdom and the very day that Jesus is going to return. And at the same time, we don't know when Jesus will return, but we know he will. He could return at any time. And in Matthew chapter 24, verses 42 to 44, "Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will return. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." What should we do in terms of praying your kingdom come? We need to be on the alert. Stay alert. We live in the tension that we're praying for the advance of the gospel, and that people respond to God's call on their lives. But Jesus could return at any time. Years ago, when I was studying for an electronics degree, I remember it was at the time of the height of the Cold War. And people lived with this expectation there could be nuclear war at any time. And I remember as I was going to university, I think, wouldn't it be great if Jesus returned before I took my finals? It didn't happen. And all these years later, there's still the expectation that Jesus could return. And it's easy to get complacent. But I suddenly see in the world people start to get concerned about climate change and other issues. And is it the end of the world again? We don't know. But Jesus could return at any time. And we are called to stay alert. Don't let's become complacent. And then the next verse in Revelation 11:15 says this. The seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven which said, the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever. And we are to rejoice that Jesus is coming back to rule and to reign. It's going to happen. When Jesus returns, he'll rule and reign forever and ever. Now, no longer be the opposition of two kingdoms. We won't be living in this conflict of the kingdom of God against the kingdom of this world. Jesus is going to come and establish his kingdom once and for all. And that is our great hope and our assurance. And I feel that we don't speak it out enough. I think we should be continually reminding one another and encouraging one another. Jesus could return. He could return tomorrow. Who knows? But one day he is going to. And he is going to bring about his perfect rule and reign. It'd be good if the band could come up, because I want to finish in a moment with worship and rejoicing in this great kingdom that is to come. And it is our great hope and assurance that Jesus is going to return. And then finally, there's this wonderful scripture in Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And this is an amazing, great hope. And we need to rejoice that the kingdom is going to come in all its fullness. We live in this tension of the now and the not yet. We live in evidence of the kingdom now. Wonderful answers to prayer when people are healed. But we know that we pray for people and they aren't always healed. We know we pray for people and they don't always respond to the gospel. But there's going to come a day when every knee will bow before King Jesus. He's going to return and he will be seen to be the king that he really is. And his kingdom will be established. And he will dwell amongst his people. We'll see him face to face. Because he'll be amongst us. New heaven and new earth. Literally, heaven on earth. That's what Jesus is going to come and do. Heaven on earth. God living on this new earth. And there'll be no more sin. No more tears. No more sickness. No more crying. No more pain. The kingdom of God in all its fullness here on earth. Doesn't that make you want to pray, Lord, your kingdom come? Shall we stand? Let's stand, and I want to pray just that, and then we're going to sing and to worship. Lord, we do pray, let your kingdom come. Lord, may it come in our individual lives. May tomorrow our lives be more and more like you, Lord Jesus. We invite you into our lives. Lord, we pray, may your kingdom come in this church. May your kingdom advance in the world. But thank you, Lord, there's going to come a day when you're going to return and you're going to establish your throne for all eternity. And Lord, we long for that day when you will come. So we praise you, we worship you, we love you, Lord Jesus. Let your kingdom come. Amen.